We begin with the circumstances of James Foley's 2 years as a hostage before he was barbarically murdered by ISIS. The U.S. government has conceded that there were both military efforts underway to release Foley, a rescue mission ultimately failed, and there was an offer by ISIS to trade Foley for a large sum of money. The U.S. government claims that such a deal was never an option under U.S. policy. Here's the Treasury Department's official line on the question of cash for hostages. We make no concessions to individuals or groups holding our citizens hostage. The U.S. government condemns hostage taking under all circumstances and would caution that ransom payments made to any hostage taker risk encouraging future instances of kidnapping for ransom. Can a blanket policy be made for all hostage situations, or is each case different? Gary Sick is senior research scholar at Columbia University who was in the thick of a hostage negotiation 30 years ago during the crisis in Iran. Sick says in that case, the scale of the hostage event consumed the Carter administration and forced them to try and make a deal. Gary Sick, welcome back to The Takeaway.
It's a real pleasure.
So your long sort of historical view here really tells the story of how the U.S. has not necessarily been always on the same page regarding negotiations for hostages. First of all, remind us of the Iranian situation that you participated in directly.
The Iranians took the whole U.S. embassy hostage and held it for 444 days, give or take a few people here and there. And the Carter administration attempted to negotiate with Iran to get the hostages free. And ultimately, the negotiations with Iran ended up in an agreement, a formal agreement, and the release of the hostages. Ronald Reagan came in highly critical of the way Carter had handled the hostage affair, made a formal statement right off the bat saying he was never going to negotiate with terrorists under any circumstances. And then a few years later, he actually went Carter one better. He actually traded arms for hostages in the Iran-Contra affair. The one thing you can say about hostage situations is that there really are no rules. It depends on the president, who often takes these things very, very personally. He's a human being and reacts as a human being. He feels sorry for the people that are there and often feels that he'll break whatever rules are necessary if he thinks he can make some progress.
And in the case of the Iranian hostages, there were all these propaganda films of the hostages in blindfolds that were meant to scare Americans and make them all sort of personally invested in the release of folks in Iran. It seems to me that the beheading tape of Mr. Foley also serves that same purpose, to try to get everyone invested in the release and make negotiations more likely in a psychological way.
The reality is that they do want to frighten people, and the beheading video is clearly intended to intimidate the American public and perhaps to intimidate the president, and to scare them into backing away from ISIS and saying, we're not going to mess with these guys. I think that was a real mistake on their part. I think the brutality that they showed in the video and the brutality that they've shown to the people underneath them is, in fact, a sign that they're probably not going to last all that long, because this is what happened to Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They behaved with such brutality that they basically lost the support of the people that they hope to rule.
In the sense that there have been reports that Al-Qaeda and ISIS, to an extent, have been funding their operations through hostage negotiations, trading European hostages for cash, because apparently that is permissible in some nations of Europe. Is the Foley video inclined to show the Europeans that they need to take this seriously and keep paying?
You know, it's really very difficult to say. It is true that people have made hostage taking into a big business, and it does, in fact, serve to provide funding for a number of militant organizations. Before this video, they were in negotiation, not with the U.S. government, with the families, to ask for a very, very large sum of money. So there was an extortion process that was underway. And then I think what happened was with the U.S. strikes in Iraq, they changed their mind and said, okay, we'll make this a political issue rather than a monetary issue. But there's another hostage there, and they obviously are trying to use him as a lever to improve their leverage with the United States.
Can the U.S. government have it both ways, in the sense that they insist they do not negotiate with hostages, but they're happy to turn their heads the other way if the family of a hostage makes an independent deal with ISIS?
I think they do defer to the families. I think they discourage the idea of paying a ransom. But if the family decides to do that, there's probably nothing that they can do about it. And so they would look the other way and probably not make a big deal about it. We had the other case recently of Bo Bergdahl, and the administration, the Obama administration, in fact, did trade some prisoners of al-Qaeda to get him out. So if you like, they did negotiate, and they ended up paying some kind of ransom, not money, but in kind. And Israel does this all the time. Whenever there's an Israeli soldier captured, they negotiate with whoever is necessary. They don't recognize Hamas, but they'll deal with Hamas to get their people back. And so this is something that governments have to decide on a real case-by-case basis. There's no hard and fast rule that you can assign to each one of these cases.
If it is the case that European governments routinely pay ransoms, is there blood on their hands in this situation? Would it be better if everybody acted in the same way and didn't negotiate, didn't pay ransoms for hostages?
You know, it's easier said than done. Presidents basically do what they think they have to do, and they won't pay any attention to the rules if they think they've got something to gain.
Recalling once again the Iran hostage situation, was there any money involved in that negotiation, unfreezing of assets, that sort of thing?
Well, the United States had frozen more than $12 billion in Iranian assets that had been held in American banks. Those assets were, part of it was returned to Iran as a result of the negotiation. It was Iranian money, but the Iranians got their money back. So there was money involved, yes.
So based on your experience with the American government, whatever Barack Obama says about not negotiating with hostages on the table, you would expect there would be some kind of contingency plan for doing just that.
I think presidents are grown-ups, and I think they're human. And from my point of view, the president, whether you like it or not, is going to feel free to do whatever he thinks is necessary to get those people out and to save their lives. And frankly, if I were a hostage, I would appreciate that. I think that's probably the right way to go.
Gary Sick is senior research scholar at Columbia University. He served on the National Security Council under Presidents Ford, Carter, and Reagan, and he was the principal White House aide for Iran during the Iranian Revolution and the hostage crisis. Gary Sick, thanks as always.
Real pleasure.